Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He clutched me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I know there's victory. Aren't you glad there is? Aren't you glad there's still victory in the Lord tonight? You can visit any other tomb in the world today, and you will find something there that reminds you, or somebody standing guard over a tomb, that there's still somebody in. But you visit the tomb of our Lord, you won't find nobody there. He has risen. Aren't you glad he has risen? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him a big hand clap of praise tonight. We love you with all your heart. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power, revealing how he made the lame to walk again, caused the blind to see. Isn't it good to be in church tonight? How many of you enjoyed service here on Wednesday night? Wasn't the word of the Lord wonderful? So good to be in God's house once again tonight. Why don't you take a second, turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight. Brethren, play just a little bit more of that song while they fellowship just for a few minutes. Thank you. you, Lord. Brother Reese, God bless you. Good to see you, buddy. Oh, thank God there's victory in Jesus. Well, He sought me. Oh, with His redeeming blood, He loved me there. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated tonight for a few minutes while we look at our prayer request. Brother Pinky Phillips called just a little while ago, got sickness in his family. Ask us to remember their situation tonight. Also pray for Brother Pinky. He has a request he'd like for you to pray about, so we'll just commit that to the Lord tonight. Brother Jerry Glenn wants us to remember Terry Wright. He's in a coma in the Johnson City Medical Center, so we certainly remember that need tonight. Sister Carol Reagan asked us to pray for her sister Sharon, not feeling well tonight, so let's remember her as we pray. Brother Jerry Glenn says to remember our granddaughter Jessica and her baby soon to be born. She has had low blood platelets and had to take steroids for several weeks. Please pray that the baby will be healthy and that all will be well for Jessica. So we just commit that to the Lord tonight. Sister Lisa Riddlebaugh sends this in to please pray for Sister Tina English. She's been battling strep throat and bronchitis, very weak in body. So we want to remember her tonight as we pray. Linda Kennedy requests prayer. She is sick in body and needs healing, so we would just commit that to the Lord tonight. Sister Judy Dyer offers his testimony. I want to praise the Lord for healing my back after a bad fall last week. I still have some sore places, but getting better every day. Thank all of you who prayed for me, so we praise the Lord for that tonight, don't we? I want to pray for David Arrowood's mother. She is very sick. This is a friend of Brother Tracy, so we'll just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. Also want to pray for John Short. He needs a touch from the Lord. Isaac Short sends that in. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Also, Brother Junior Davis, continue to remember our brother in prayer. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have a need, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, we know there's power in prayer. We believe if we join our prayers together, the Lord, He's more than able to meet every need among us tonight. I believe that with all of my heart. Let's stand tonight, if you will. Brother Bill Yance, good to have you in the service. Why don't you come lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight on behalf of these requests. Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service. I believe we're going to have a good time here tonight, don't you? How many of you come expecting to have church tonight? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Brother Bill, God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
I'm just going to lead you. You help me. Master Jesus, You're the author of the words. You're the great divine healer. As Brother Louis was calling these names off this evening, we may not remember all their names, but you heard it. And you know all things in heaven and earth. So let divine healing come and just take this prayer request, God, and wipe it clean tonight. Because You're a way maker in a time of trouble. We live in a troubled world, and we come here tonight to hear the Word, to help us to be a greater overcomer in the hour in which we live. God has chosen and ordained us to be the people on the earth that can live in Satan's Eden and overcome everything that they'd ever put before our face, and we'll overcome and go out of this world. We thank You for Your grace to us. Now, God, we've come here tonight, and as Brother Donnie walks out here to minister the Word, strengthen his body for the service. Come and manifest Yourself to us. Reveal Your very life through the voice of the Word. Speak to us tonight, God. Now speak to every prayer request, and let every need be made known and be done right now. For the highest name that I can call on in heaven and earth is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For every need, let it be done, God, according to Your word. And we're thankful for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Bill. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering.
If you're a visitor here tonight with us, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. All those that are streaming tonight, may God richly bless those folks as well. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's sing a song tonight, if you will. Just before we do, let me make a couple of announcements. We want you to, Brother Jimmy Babb made an announcement here, on Wednesday night about the American Red Cross and their blood drive, and they've asked this assembly to participate in that. And I think they're started on their second sheet over in the library, so don't forget that if you haven't signed up or would care to do that. They'll give you all the details, the blood drive that the American Red Cross has put on, so we want to participate in that. Also, we have graduates that have graduated, even some today, I think, from high school, some from college and different things. It's so hard to get everybody graduate-wise here at the same time. So what we've decided to do, we're going to give you your Bible over in the library. And as you come, if you're a graduate, they have a Bible for you. They will give you over in the library. So remember that. Do we have any graduates here tonight? Would you just raise your hand if we have? Right here's one on the front row. Anybody else? Raise it real high. Back here, over here some more. Just give our graduates a real nice hand tonight. Amen. We're very proud of you, and you can pick your Bible up in the library. We'll be announcing this again, Lord willing, in the morning. So just to make it easier for everybody, because as I said, it's hard to get all of them here at one time, Brother Terry. But we're glad we're here tonight, aren't we?
Amen.
Never been this homesick in my life, have you? Let's sing it tonight. See the bright light shine. Home's getting closer every day, isn't it? Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him tonight.
There's a light in the window. The table spread his splendor. Someone standing by an open door.
Oh, yes, it is. Wait, buddy.
I can see a crystal river. Lord, I must be near forever. And I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. I can see my father standing at the door. Time.
house, Brother Harry. He's in the house. Amen. Let's sing just a little bit of this song. Have a couple of specials tonight. Brother Fred Green's going to sing. Brother John Cockman and his family, I don't know exactly how they got that put together, but they're going to give us a song tonight. So glad to have them in the service with us again tonight. And I think maybe some of the family members are going to be helping him sing. But let's sing this song tonight. We find this true, Brother Terry. Every time we come here, he's in the house. Not necessarily this building, but when we come in, he's in the house. I want him to be in this house, don't you? Somebody say he's in this house. Now give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him. A little girl was lying there. People all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping. As he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say, he's in the house. Death had to flee. Now there is light where darkness used to be. You can be seated tonight.
Well, I love that song. I've never been that homesick before. There's a table spread and someone standing by the door.
Come over here, Ron.
You can sit in these. Move down to the right a little bit there, Lou. When Brother Louie asked me to play a song, I said I might get the girls up. We were on the road last weekend for Mother's Day. We're in California and didn't get to really do anything for Mom. She was doing everything for us. So I thought maybe we'll sing this song. This is a good old tune, and it's called here. Step up. Is that those going to work? This is called Supper Time. And these are my daughters here. Lorian on the end is 11, and Arwen is 13. She's going to play this one for us.
to B flat.
When I was just a boy in days of childhood, I used to roam till evening shadows come. Then winding down an old familiar pathway, I heard my mother call at set of sun.
Supper waiting on the kitchen table. Her gentle voice was music to my ears. The tender way she'd call us home at evening has never been forgotten through the years.
Come home. Come home, it's supper time. The shadows leave and pass. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last.
In visions now,
some of my favorite memories of childhood are woven around supper time. I can still hear my mother calling from the back porch of the old home place, saying, come on home, children, it's supper time. I'd love to hear that once more. But you know, for me, time has woven the realization of a truth that's even more thrilling. And that's when a voice will call from the portals of glory, saying, come on home, it's supper time at last.
Come home, it's supper time. The shadows lengthen fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last.
Thank you.
He's healing me from my feet up. I love it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I dreamed of the white throne judgment and all the dead, both small and great, appeared before God. The judgment was set, the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things written in these books, according to their works. I've been trying to sing this song since December, ever since Brother Donnie preached the great white throne judgment. Here we go. I dreamed that the great white throne judgment had dawned and the people were judged. And then he gave me the scriptures which I just quoted, and I'm going on into the verse. This verse I had to redo, and that's why there's a little bit of hesitation there, because it didn't line up with the message. And oh, what a weeping and wailing, as the lost were told of their fate. Oh, they cried, all the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayers was too late. The rich man was there, but his money had melted and vanished away. A pauper, he stood in the judgment. His debts were too heavy to pay. The great man was there, but his greatness, when death came, was left far behind. For the angel that opened the records, not one trace of his greatness could find. And oh, what a weeping and wailing, as the lost were told of their fate. Oh, they cried, oh, the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayers was too late. The widow was there with her offerings. God heard and remembered their cries. There's no sorrow in heaven forever. God wiped all the tears from their eyes. The gambler was there with the drunkard, with the people that sold them the drink, with the people who sold the drink, with the people who gave them the license. Together in hell they did sink. And oh, what a weeping and wailing, as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayers was too late. The moral man came to the judgment, but his self-righteous rags would not do. The men who crucified Jesus had passed off as moral men too. The soul that had put off salvation, not tonight, I'm gonna get saved by and by. I got no time now to think about Jesus. At last they had found time to die. And oh, what a weeping and wailing, as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayers was too late.
Let's have Brother Harry sing this song tonight.
My boss said sing this. The Spirit and the Bride were saying, come. The elect could be and stir inside their heart. Our uniting time has come. We and the Father are one. Soon we'll be with our
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How we appreciate the evening light. Amen. We're a privileged people to be able to live in this day, aren't we?
Amen.
Office day that ever was. Ain't never been so much sin, so much darkness, so much junk. And God said, I want y'all to live in that day. I'm glad. Now that I look at it from this perspective, I'd have asked to live here. You say you're crazy. Well, you are too, so. You're going to be crazy for God or the devil won. Aren't you glad to live in this day? What a greater day could there be for God to let you shine? Let your light so shine in this day. God bless you. Let's turn, if you would, to the book of Matthew chapter 14. I'd like to read, begin reading verse 25 down through verses 32. Matthew chapter 14, verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, Lord, save me. So you mean he didn't see the wind before he stepped out of the ship? Or was it that he just saw the wind? So you mean it can be there and you not see it, and then all of a sudden you can see it? As faith has a substance, so does fear. And when he saw the wind, well, what was he doing before? Ignoring the wind. He wasn't paying no attention to it. It's kind of like symptoms. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. And immediately, I love that, immediately. Of course, you ain't got long. You only got a few seconds. You're going on your way down. It better be immediately. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand. How many's ever been there when he immediately helped you? You didn't deserve it. You wasn't worth it or none of that, but he done it anyhow. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So you mean little faith will let you doubt. Now Jesus didn't say he didn't have any faith, but he said he had a little faith. But with a little faith, you can doubt. With a little faith, you can fear. But you can't with grown up faith. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Ain't that just like Jesus? Why didn't he stop the wind before he came into the ship? You know, when he lets it go like that, he's got a reason. Why don't he stop the wind around us sometimes when we're out in the middle of the water? He said, no, just wait till you get in the boat and then I'll calm it down. Sometimes he calms the wind. Sometimes he calms me. But he always knows which one to calm first and which one to calm right. Let's pray together if you would and ask him to help us tonight. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you for being so mindful of us, Father. Heavenly Father, our loving King, our righteous God and Savior. We ask you that you would so help us tonight as we look into your word. May we be benefited by our gathering together in this place, Lord Jesus. We are so grateful in this time of terrible, terrible sin and darkness upon the earth that the scriptures are written, arise and shine, for thy light has come. For the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. We're so grateful, Lord. I pray it would be so here tonight. Maybe the illumination of God would come by once again and visit us in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, friends. You may be seated. I want to speak to you tonight on losing substance. Losing substance. I want to read to you from Perfect Faith. We'll kind of build this little foundation and then we'll go in the direction that the Lord has placed on my heart. I feel it be beneficial for us to read this and the way that Brother Branham deals with it. Peter was doing all right till he got scared. The word told him he could walk on the water. He was scared first and he thought it was a ghost. And he said, well, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come on the water. And he said, come on. Now that's just the same as James 5:14, as Mark 16, the same God said it, come on. So he started walking. He'd done all right. Got down out of the ship, started walking. Now notice there was a storm on the sea, you know, great white capped waves, bigger than these hills around here. The foam breaking on top of them, terrific. Maybe 15, 20 feet foam, the white caps breaking. It was a terrific thing for him to ask, if it be you, Lord. See, he looked, there was a shadow or a spirit, and he said, if it's you, bid me to come on the water. Jesus said, come on. He stepped down and said, it's the Lord. I'll just walk. It's the Lord. I'll just walk. Now watch. But when he got his eyes on the waves. Now wonder where his eyes were before. On Jesus. Now remember, he sees Jesus. Jesus has now come out on the water. We don't know exactly how far he was away from the boat. But they thought he was a ghost or a spirit. They didn't know exactly what it was. And he was close enough to where they were frightened by it. And then they thought, my, maybe it's not a ghost. Maybe it's the Lord. So then Peter, apparently Jesus kept coming closer and closer. And he recognized it was him. He said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. Now his eyes are affixed upon Jesus. And he's able to recognize who he was. So at the command of one word, come, didn't have 57 pages of quotes, 39 affirmations pasted on his fridge, on everywhere, but one word, come, and he was able to step out with his eyes on Jesus and walk on water. Now, then something, though, happened to where that Peter's eyes became changed and the direction that he was looking now become affected. Also, his thinking was altered by what he saw. Now, notice this. When he got his eyes on the waves, he got scared. What come in his... He got his eyes on the waves, then he got scared. So he's walking on water. White caps, the foam is 15 to 20 foot deep. Not the waves, the foam. That's what he said, the foam. So you're looking, it's this big, and he's not scared, not till he starts looking at the circumstance. Now remember, this man does not have the Holy Ghost. He's not born again. He has not been changed, but somehow by the dispensation of grace, with Christ being there, there was a few people before the baptism of the Holy Ghost that were allowed to break into a realm of supernatural faith, which was beyond the common faith that other people would have. And this was an instance of that. Now notice, he says, I'm going to walk because the word said for me to walk. And the next thing he looked, well, he looked at his symptoms. He looked out there and he seen how big them waves was. And he looked out there and seen how big there was and he got scared. Now notice, he's walking on water. He's seeing the waves around him. He's seeing the white caps. He's seeing the foam. But he's not scared. But all of a sudden, he becomes scared. Why? What changed? So the change was not the conditions. The change was not the circumstance. The change was not the power of God. The change was not Jesus retracting the word come. The change was within him. So where did it start? How was it that this man could be right in the middle of a miracle and fail? Now watch this. He looked at his symptoms. He looked out there and seen how big the waves was and he got scared. What he feared happened. When he did, down he went. What he feared happened. What he believed happened. Now notice then, so his faith had a substance and that substance was so strong it made the water to congeal under his feet to such a way that there must have been a molecular structure change even either in the water or in his feet somehow. That this water could be changed and the same thing that was happening to Jesus was now happening to Peter. And yet there was not one thing about the wind that changed the waves. It was not the waves. It was not all of a sudden it was so calm and peaceful. And then when he stepped out, these adverse conditions started. But those conditions were already there. But he had something that wasn't that he was any more of a believer. It wasn't that he was any more of a disciple. It was that he had a substance with his believing which would not allow him to be afraid. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you, friends, the main reasons most of us are afraid is because the right temperance of love has never reached that state in our lives. It's not because we don't know truth. It's not because we haven't heard things. It has to do with our love life. Now I'll let you ponder over that and then I'll read it to you and then you can say amen. Okay. Now watch this. He looked out there and seen how big them waves was and he got scared. What he feared happened. Now what happened now? What he feared happened. So his fear actually brought to him what he was afraid of. His faith allowed him to do what he believed he could do as long as the substance was there. But once the substance switched from faith to fear, each one of those has the power to materialize what your greatest expectation is.
If your greatest expectation is that God will keep His word despite of circumstances, no matter what you feel, no matter what you're going through, that will be your substance into the realm of supernatural, that God will keep His word. But if you look at your symptoms, if you look at how bad things are, then that becomes the substance that actually becomes a predominant thing in the way you think. And actually you're moving it from faith to fear. Now watch what happened. What he feared happened. What he believed happened. When he believed he could walk, he walked. Notice the whole miracle is based on Peter. It's not based upon Jesus changing, Jesus having some type of weakness, the waves got bigger and they overpowered the power of God. Had nothing to do with any of that. It had to do with Peter himself, which shows me and you a great thing. I hope God helps us to see tonight. That whenever we lose victories, it has nothing to do, Brother Michael, with God's power being less than it was 2,000 years ago. It has nothing to do with Him not being a miracle worker. It has nothing to do with this message not being the truth or the Bible promises not being right. It has to do most of the time with us. Oh, God, help us. When he believed he could walk, he walked. When he believed, notice, he got scared in his belief. He got scared in his belief. Then his substance left him. Not his faith. His faith never left him. His substance did. Now when his substance was there, it was totally impossible to be afraid. You cannot have substance faith and be afraid. Well, I kind of thought y'all be quiet on me, but I just didn't think it'd be this soon. You cannot have perfect faith and be afraid. Now you can have little faith and be scared to death. You can have intellectual faith and be scared to death. But you can't have substance faith and be afraid. Watch this. When he feared, it happened. When he believed, it happened. He got scared in his belief. Then his substance left him. He still professed his faith. But he didn't have the substance. Did he believe Jesus was still the Son of God with all of his heart? Did he believe Jesus was still walking on water with all of his heart? Did he believe he was a miracle worker with all of his heart? Did he believe he could still walk on water? No. So his substance for the miracle happening to him left him. And when the substance left him, he went down. Not his face. Not his confession, not him believing that God was a miracle worker, but somehow substance left him. Now watch, the substance would have went right over the top of the white cap and went right onto him, see, if he has that perfect faith. But he didn't have it. He thought he did. He did at first. So here's a man without the Holy Ghost that had perfect faith. He did it first. He was willing to venture right on that. Why? The Lord told me to do it. It's got to happen. So he steps right down out of the boat and he takes off. He never thought about the waves. Never. You mean to tell me this man steps right out with these white caps going the way they are and he don't even think about it? Now he's moved into a dimension of God. If you can understand. He never thought about the waves. How contrary there was. He never got that in his mind. How is that possible? That a man is walking on this sea of Galilee. And I've been on that sea. And seen how the storms can do. And he don't even think about it. Is he nuts? Yeah. Same kind of nuts I hope you and I become. Bride material. Don't sit there and look at me all bug-eyed. I'm preaching bride stuff, friends. This is what Brother Branham called bride material. Glory. He never thought about the waves. How could you not think about it? How could you not let this come into your mind unless you had actually tapped into a resource into a dimension, as it were. A dimension of substance faith. It's beyond intellectual believing. You believe the message with all my heart. You believe God sent His Son with all my heart. You believe there's a heaven with all my heart. You believe there's a hell with all my heart. Are you going to heaven? I'm not sure. Did God send the prophet for you? I don't know. I hope so. You think God loves you? I sure hope He does. I'm trying to get good enough. Quit getting good enough and just believe what He said. Now notice, He never thought about the waves, how contrary there was. He never got that in His mind. So you see, in order for Satan to stop the miracle, all he had to do was to bring those conditions of time that would tear a human being all to pieces. Just get that man to think about it for just a second. All of a sudden, now he gets his eyes on Jesus. He steps out the boat. The waves are toying and tossing, and the boat, oh my, nearly upside down. And he steps right on out of, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can walk on water. How long? We don't know. The Bible don't say. It never come into his mind about the waves. It never crossed his thought pattern about how bad they were. But all of a sudden, something changed in his mind. Now watch paragraph 118. When you get to thinking, well now wait, I've been sick so long. Brother Brown says, stop! You just might as well get back to the boat. See, when you quit thinking about that, where did it start? In his mind. Now there had to be a transition take place to where the substance would leave him. Why? Because it's not in the mind that the substance is. We study the word, we listen to it, we want to memorize it, all that sort of thing, but faith must be from the heart. Oh my. Notice this. Abraham considered not his own body now dead, neither deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't think about that. You mean to tell me this 100-year-old man did not even think about him being 100 years old? He didn't even think about her being 90. He didn't think about the impossibility. He never even thought about it. I'm convinced, friends, we think too much about our troubles. We think too much about how bad things are and how terrible things are. Our father Abraham didn't even think about the deadness of his own body. Are we his seed? How? Not only by faith. We got to be his seed by thought pattern. The Jews say they are his seed, but they're not by life or by nature. We claim we are the seed of Abraham by faith, but what about by thought? It's not good enough to say, well, I'm the seed of Abraham because I believe faith. That's not enough. If we're going to be bride, we have to have a thought pattern that is like this man. Lord, hallelujah. My. Notice this. So Abraham considered not his own body now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't think about that. Didn't even consider it. Wasn't even brought to understanding. Didn't even consider it at all. The more I read this, the more I realize I am talking about a bunch of crazy people. As far as the world is concerned. So Peter didn't consider the waves. Abraham never considered his own body, nor considered Sarah. I'm convinced we're not crazy enough. You know what I'm talking about in the right sense. Now, watch this. He just considered what God said, and as long as Peter did that, did what? Did what Abraham did. He considered not the white cats. He considered not the phone. He considered not the situation. He considered not, this is not even supposed to be. A man ain't never walked on water before. As long as he did that, he had substance. Now, let me read you something here from a doctor's perspective about fear. Fear is the mind projecting within itself images of what it does not want to happen. If the fear is not recognized and dealt with early on, it can and will find root within our consciousness. And if these thoughts are allowed to repeat themselves over and over again, they will eventually take an imprint on a subconscious level. Once this happens, the subconscious mind begins to attract the exact experiences we had been projecting. Now, this is called the law of attraction. The law of attraction has nothing to do with now boy meets girl, boy wants to marry a girl. There's nothing about that kind of attraction. But it is that thoughts and behavior will attract. And when the subconscious, when the first conscience thinks it and it keeps thinking it over and over and over again, it buries it then in the subconscious. Once it reaches the subconscious, then the subconscious begins to work on the law of attraction. And that law within you in a subconscious manner will begin to bring to pass those negative things that you are thinking about. Can you imagine here in a moment of time as this is going down into Peter and it's grabbing a hold of his eyes and his senses and he's seeing all this and the law of attraction, he fears what? Falling. In a moment of time, the law of attraction from his subconscious draws those circumstances and the miracle is reversed. And the law of gravity pulls him down in the water. Lord Jesus, this is like driving a car in reverse when we want to go forward. There is no point complaining what is wrong with this car. Instead, ask yourself, why do I have a car in reverse? So you want to be an overcoming Christian, you tell me. You're constantly talking about defeat and sickness and complaining about this and that and the other. Look at where your gear shift is. If you want to go forward, you can't use R. Did you say R meant run? Did you say R meant rapid? Maybe we need to have a book, Driving for Dummies. I don't understand why I can't get over this. I don't understand nobody in the church likes me. I don't understand what's going on. God don't love me anymore. God don't care for me. I don't know what's going on. I can tell you if you want to listen. First of all, stop. Stop. And then look down there and see where your gear shift is. Amen. Start changing them thinking, them thoughts. Start getting rid of that fear. Get rid of all them complexes about you. And pull it down in D for deity and drive. Why? Because we've got a journey. We ain't going to make it by going backwards. You cannot imagine how overwhelmed I was Thursday night. As I was sitting downstairs studying for this weekend. And I began to look at the scripture in Hebrews 11. It had been quite a while since I'd actually clicked on the meanings of some of the words. So I pull up the scripture in Hebrews 1:11, or 11:1 rather. Paul says it this way. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. And as I do quite often, I move the little mouse over the word substance. And I clicked on that word. And what word did I find? Hupostasis. The word we was looking at Wednesday night. For a few seconds, I felt like I was 20 years old again. Oh, glory. I just had to tell somebody. I went upstairs and told Carol, said, you are not going to believe. You're not going to believe what I just found. She said, what was it? Tell me, what was it? Now, I want you to notice. Here, Paul says, faith is the substance. Let's read it just in case you forgot it from Wednesday night. Hupostasis, confidence, a setting or a placing under, a thing put under, a substructure, a foundation, that which has foundation firm, that which has an actual existence. Now remember when Paul, we looked at it Wednesday night, the Jesus and the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. The translators chose the English word person, but the word was not person. It was this word right here, substance. So actually this is God. Substance. It is an actual existence. Faith is not intellectual only. Faith is not a thought. Faith is not a perception. Faith is an existence of a substance, and that substance is none other than the mighty Elohim himself. Oh, hallelujah to God. This is why the real faith of God will give us the ability to look at things the way God looks at them. It don't look at it through human perception and try to make ourselves believe. But if it is a substance, a hypostasis, it is a divine intervention from another dimension. It is the substance of his own being that drops in our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So faith is a hypostasis of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it substantiates God's promises. The fulfillment that we look for, but substance faith makes them a reality now. Lord Jesus. Can't you understand that human intellectual faith, we can believe and believe it and look forward to the time when this will happen and that will happen and this will move away. Substance faith says it's already done. Now it's not mind over matter. It's not somebody trying to convince themselves. If they've really got that, that is a deposit from God. Lord, help us, God. True Bible faith is confident obedience in the promises of God while they are yet unseen. You see, Noah moved with faith and built the ark before there was ever one rain cloud. By the time everybody else saw the clouds, it was too late. Amen. Now, by the time everybody else goes to thinking about a rapture and this and other, the bride will then be gone. The bride is preparing before all the signs ever get here. Oh, we're looking for signs. We're looking for that. I'm looking for a preparation message. Oh, Brother Donnie, I'm looking for bombs, not me. I'll tell you one thing. I'm looking for a change. I love the way Brother Ram deals with this. He said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence that something's happened of things not seen. Notice how he injects this. The evidence that something's happened of things not seen. So it's happened, but you can't prove it to nobody. You can't even prove it to yourself. You can't prove it to the devil. Oh my. Oh, that just a make-believe. Say, well, oh yes, hallelujah, I got it. There's been too much of that in you Pentecostal people to begin with. You're rejoicing about something you don't have. Faith is absolutely a substance. It's not a hope. Oh my. Hope isn't hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. But when faith takes it, it becomes the substance that you hope for. The evidence of things I see. Real faith is the substance. It's as real as if though you had it in your hand. But Donnie, what about the headache? What about the CAT scan? What about this? That has nothing to do with substance faith. Just like the waves had nothing to do with Peter's substance. But once fear came in, then those waves had a big part to play. Watch this. Again, he says, one of the managers, Dr. Vail and I, was arguing that for an hour and a half the other day. He tried to say hope and faith is the same thing. I said, no. Hope is what you're looking for, and faith is what you got by hoping. Glory. That's That's why certainly it's not a hope any longer when you got it. Amen. It's yours. It's in possession. It's in possession, but could you prove it? No. When it's yours in possession, are the symptoms gone? They'll probably get worse. Notice he says it's in possession and you got it just as happy as you can be, for it is the substance of things hoped for. Notice again, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. To have an evidence, it must be a substance. A hypostasis. So it is something that is as firm and is as real, it is as tangible to you as anything around you that you could see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. Because it's in that sixth sense that God gave us as children of God.
Amen.
But yet fear, on the other hand, it can become just as real. Fear can become so much a substance. It can terrify you. Torment you. You're scared to go out. You're scared to do this. And other people say, oh, get next to yourself. They don't have the substance you have. Shake yourself out of it. That's easy for them to say. Fear is just an intellectual thing. Maybe more anxiety than it is fear. But if it's a real fear or a phobia, it's substance. My affirmation tonight is I'm getting rid of all fear. I ain't talking about godly fear. Now I'm talking about the devil kind of fear. Faith is a substance. I have an evidence. It must be a substance. So it's not just something you imagine in your mind. It's something that you absolutely have. It's something that you possess in your own being. Remember, Jesus was the brightness of his image, the express image of his person. So Jesus was the expression of the substance of God. What is real faith in every believer? Well, Brother Abraham says, what is a believer then? It's that faith of God in you. Then you become the express image of his substance of faith.
Well, glory. Y'all believe this? I just want to make sure I was in the right church. Y'all look like my sheep, but you're looking different.
Notice this is something that you possess in your own being. What is it? It's the evidence of things that you have hoped for. Listen to this. It's the evidence of things you do not have as yet. But you have the authority of God to say that you have it. Lord, mercy! You ain't got the natural evidence that you've got it, but where did you get the authority? Substance. Substance, God, amen, by direct revelation of his power, gave you the authority. Go ahead and tell him you're healed of cancer. Go ahead and testify, I'm going to give you a job. Go ahead and say it, I'm going to move for your finances. Go ahead, I give you authority, say it. Say it, I give you authority.
You understand what we do now as children of God. When we have needs and desires and petitions, we go before the Lord and we, by faith, we say, we'll claim healing. We should. We'll claim our children. We'll claim this and claim that. But what if God drops down in your heart and says, claim, would you care to move over a little bit? Well, yes, sir. I mean, if you want me to, I want you to. Claiming's good, but it ain't nothing like authority. Should I stop claiming? Oh, no. Keep claiming it till Mr. Authority moves in. And then claim can take a back seat. Intellectual faith, we claim our children, we claim our healing, we claim this, we claim that. But once God drops the substance, the expression of his image for your life. What was Jesus? He was the very heart of God represented on the earth to be a redeemer, to be a savior. That was a part of God revealed for that hour. Look, friend, we don't need another savior.
We don't need another Redeemer. But I do need a healer sometimes. And I need somebody to lift me up. So God wants to express that part of His image in my heart to meet my needs. You know, as I started setting this stuff today and started putting it together today, as I started looking at this, I actually started feeling sorry for the poor devil. I thought, poor feller, he's pitiful. Because this word is going to tear the hide off him. Look, friends, God don't just send His word. God releases an anointing. Don't you come in here and sit, just expect more and more and more and more quotes. You expect God to release an anointing to you. To make this word a reality in your life. Malachi 4 wouldn't have done us no good if God hadn't released the anointing on Malachi 4 and give us an understanding. Don't you understand? That's where many of the folks in the message are. They're just under the scripture of Malachi 4. The anointing of Malachi 4 has never been released to them. If it had been, they would have grabbed the whole of that scripture and said, behold, I send unto you Elijah the prophet. Ain't nobody going to talk you out of it. If God released the anointing of that word to you, that scripture becomes substance. It ain't a doctrine, it's substance. Notice, let me read this again. It's something that you possess in your own being. What is it? It's the evidence of things you've hoped for. It's the evidence of things you do not have as yet. But you have the authority of God to say that you have it. It's an evidence. Something you have in your heart. So Jesus, being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His hupotassis. What was it? The image of God reflected. What was Peter? What was Paul? What was the rest of them after the Holy Ghost came? He revealed exactly what was needed. What was Brother Branham? The very power of God revealed in him for the hour. We're not looking now for a world-shaking revival and everybody going to go out and buy big old tents. That's another time frame. We're looking for faith for a rapture. So I need Him to reveal Himself in me and reveal Himself in you for the need of this time. Notice, faith is a substance. It's like this. Perhaps, what if I, well, you found me somewhere starving to death. And I told you I was hungry. One loaf of bread would save my life. You'd reach into your pocket and give me 25 cents and say, here, Brother Branham, you don't have to starve. I'll give you the 25 cents to get a loaf of bread. Now, I'd be just as happy with that 25 cents as I would be if I had the bread. Now, this is the correct perception of substance faith. Now, intellectual faith cannot be happy until you have the bread. You got butter on it. You got jelly on it. You got your favorite drink, whatever that is. You're sitting there at the table and you're eating it. That's when intellectual faith is, boy, that was close. Man, I thought I was going to die. Boy, I ain't never been that close to death before. That's when, whenever intellectual faith, oh, glory to God, I knew you would, Lord. I knew you would. You knew you would when you walked through IGA. That's when you was convinced. When you pushed your buggy up there and you're smiling like a possum. Your faith was in full fruition right there when you laid that 25 cents down. But substance faith would have said to the man who gave you the quarter, thank you, my brother. I am saved. I am delivered. I am healed. Hallelujah. Why? That 25 cents was a substance. You know, friend, when you look at it, we're knocking ourselves out of so much shouting and so much victory. You see, if you really got a substance faith, you can shout all the way from wherever you are to the grocery store. Well, with intellectual faith, you can't shout till on your way out from the grocery store. You're worrying the whole time. Oh, some thug will knock me in the head. There's some homeless person over here on the street of Johnson City, on Rome Street. They may knock me in the head. Oh, no, I'll never get the bread. Oh, no, it looks like it's going to rain. Oh, no, they're probably out of bread. Fear, 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 and more fear. Notice this now. I cannot eat the 25 cents, but the 25 cents will buy the bread. Now listen to this simple illustration. And now faith is the 25 cents. Can you eat the faith? No. Will the faith do what you, the faith will bring it to pass, but the faith is the purchasing power. Lord Jesus. If you've got the faith in your heart, you're just as happy with the faith that your crippled hand will move as you would be if you were moving it. Praise God. Why? Because that substance faith is so real to you, you've got the authority to say, hand, get ready. Get ready, hand. We're fixing to move. I mean, we're fixing to have a move around here. And you're going to move, and I think I'll go ahead and start shouting about it right now. I ain't waiting to see if it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Hallelujah. I've got substance, and I've got the authority to declare it. I'm healed. I'm healed. If you've got the faith in your heart, you're just as happy with the faith that your crippled hand will move as you would be if you were moving it. Because faith is the purchasing power of your healing. And let me just remind you, Jesus ain't never out of breath. His shelves won't be empty. And it's always fresh. And in case you're wondering what kind it is, it's a wonder bread and it's a rainbow bread and it's heavenly bread. It's all the good things. Now watch this. Maybe with the 25 cents, I'd be just as hungry. Now watch how he brings this. I would be just as hungry if I was before I received the 25 cents. Now look at the human part. Nothing has changed. So you mean you've got the purchase power and yet you're just as hungry as you was before and yet you've got the ability to eliminate this, but just because you've got the substance don't mean the symptoms leave immediately. Now watch this. I might have to go several miles before I could get the loaf of bread. I might have to go through the briar patch up over the mountain, which means, of course, you were in the valley. Right? If he was up on the mountain, that you'd got substance faith, and it said, I'll have to go down the mountain. He didn't say go down the mountain. You got to go up over the mountain, which means you were in the valley when you got the revelation. Well, if that's where I need to be, so be it. You need to tell me, here I hold in my hand or in my pocket this power of redemption, this power of purchasing. And I'm just as hungry. And I've got miles in front of me. I've got treatments. I've got hospital visits. I've got this and that and the other in front of me. But if you've got substance, you can go in that doctor's office. How you doing today, Mr. Babb? Wonderful. Great. Y'all ought to start packing a couple of quarters around. People say, have you noticed some people from Happy Valley? They got some kind of cult or something. They all go to pack around at least a couple of quarters. Are they fixing to swallow them things like drinking Kool-Aid or something? I don't know. It's something that weird preacher has told them. There may be all kinds of trials. There may be all kinds of tests. There may be all kinds of things you'll go through. But if you've got substance and you don't get your eyes on your symptoms and you don't get your eyes on the things that are around you, and when Satan brings it up, you say, I refuse your fear. I will not be afraid of the devil. Now, don't raise your hands. But I wonder, is there anybody in this building tonight that could honestly say and tell the truth? You are not afraid of Satan in any way, in any means, no matter what he does. Dear Lord, what happened? What, y'all afraid to even breathe? Afraid that's a commitment? Or... Oh, I know we're deeper than everybody else in the world. We know more, and we're smart alecks with what we know and all that. Preachers included, beginning here to the back. Are there any of us that can say, I am not afraid of Satan? There's nothing he can do to harm me. I'll not fear him in life. I'll not fear him in death. Y'all thought some of them other affirmations was tough. I knew when we got here it'd really take the real strong to post this on a fridge. I don't know how many iPhones and iPads will be getting these affirmations. It separates bride from church. Men from boys. Come on, church. Oh, Lord, even the preachers is quiet. Whew. Notice this. I might have to go through the briar patch. Briar patch? You mean with real briars? Y'all ever been in the briar patch? I loved summertime when I was a kid, except for the time when it comes time to pick blackberries. I didn't like blackberries in the first place. Sorry, if you do, that's up to you. Something I've got to dose up with sugar and taste the whole taste of my thing, I'm wasting my time eating the things. That just added to the pain of picking them. My grandmother, my dad's mother, she lived right by us, and we called her Mom. Mom loved to pick blackberries. And Mom wanted to wait till the heat of the day. Gap Creek wasn't that far from where we lived, and all I could imagine was that cold creek shivering in that creek, and Mom wanted to pick blackberries. So you'd get stuck. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You get stuck and you pick this and then you pick that one. And you, oh, man, you have to go through the briar patch. You mean sometimes a Christian has a briar patch to go through? Now, it's one thing, you know, the way that we're then and then the rector's field we have there. They would have big old patches and then things and they'd be maybe as big as this right here. And there was pasture all around it. And the cows that have it eat down. So you just go over there and kind of walk around a little bit. But naturally, the big pretty ones was always in the middle. And Mom would say, Donnie, get in there and get them. So you know what I'd have to do? I'd have to get in them briars and pull them out. Oh, Mom, I hate these things. Mom, I don't want these things. And she just laughed. She thought that was the funniest thing that ever was. But you know what? Sometimes faith is not a beautiful pasture and you've got a little clump of them over here and over there. Sometimes you've actually got to go through the briar patch and you've got to take your sword and cut a way through and cut a way through your pain and your symptom and your sorrow and your tribulation. But brother, you got the sword in one hand and you got your quarters jingling in your pocket. Why? Because you're on your way to get your bread. Hey, man, I'm not stopping till I get it. So I might have to go through, not around it. briar patch. Up over the mountain. I don't know how it is on most of your mountains. God don't have them incline things up for me. Maybe y'all's mountains is that way. Maybe he has one of them things down at the bottom and you just step in, come right in here, honey child. I'm going to give you a lift right to the top. My mountains are steep sometimes. They rough. They jagged. So I've got to go through a briar patch. I've got to go up over a mountain. Cross over a bridge. Wade through the water. Isn't that amazing that sometimes he provides a bridge, other times he provides feet. Sometimes you can walk across that bridge, man alive, your feet all dry. Other times it says take your shoes off. Now those of you that's ever crossed creeks, and I've been through many of them in my life, you know how it is when you cross them creeks? They got that slimy stuff on the bottom of them old rocks. And buddy, you gotta be careful, cause when you get out there and them little muscle things got shells on them, and they leave that slimy trail all through there, and your feet get real slick, and the creek bottom's real slick. Oh, that's the way the devil does life sometimes. I bump my head many a time. Hey, maybe that's why I'm not headed. I've got them on the back, I've got them on the front. Why? Because my feet slide right out from under me, right in the middle of that creek. You go through briar patches, you go through mountains, you cross bridges, you go through, but are you going to the grocery store or not? Are you going to get your bread or not? Or are you going to start out and you come up to that briar patch and you look at that cord and say, I ain't that hungry after all. Best I remember, I believe Brother Louie gave me some of them Swiss rolls last Sunday. I'll do this next week. I'll be back. I doubt it. Because your fears have become so much greater. Them briars, instead of being that long, they'll be that long time you get it in your mind. That creek is going to cross this time. It'll be a river next time. Because in your mind, you'll have it so big, and Satan will work on your fear, Peter. He'll sow zap your substance from you, Peter. That will be much harder the next time than it was right now. So just go ahead and take it. Oh. Listen to this person now with substance faith with the quarter in their hand. I may have to go through the briar patch over the mountain, cross the bridge, wade through the water. But all the time I'm going, I'm rejoicing. See, that was part of my problem. That's one reason that made blackberry picking so bad. I wasn't rejoicing. I hated the thoughts of it. Mom would say, Donnie, tomorrow we're picking them. Oh, Mom, no, no. You know them blackberries won't be here very long, son. We got to go over and get them blackberries. I want to make your daddy a blackberry cobbler. I hated it. I hated the thoughts of it. I hated the heat. I hated the briars. I hated the June bugs. I hated the sweat bees. And besides all that, Mom loved to scare people. You never knew if you could trust her or not. One day me and her was walking down the road and I seen this peculiar animal, which looked like a large rat. But since I'd never seen one before, I wasn't sure. And it didn't take long for Mom to know that I'd never seen one before. So Mom said, Donnie, he won't hurt you. Go over and grab him by the tail. It's a possum, for those of you still wondering what it was. I said, are you sure, Mom? She said, it won't hurt you. Bless her heart. I don't sound worse than kept from laughing. It won't hurt you. I said, all right, Mom, if it won't hurt me, I'll go over. So here I got over a hand reach of that possum. Yeah, like that. You know how they do, showing their teeth. I took off running. I thought she was going to die laughing on the road. Now, you see, this also created fear. Because I wasn't sure why Mom was sending me in the briar patch. There might be a possum in there. There might be a coon in there. There ain't no telling what be in there. Then Mom might give it. But it tells you something, Brian. Your father won't send you in the briar patch just to get a good laugh out of you. He's watching over everything you do. And he's mindful of you.
Lord, I confess before you tonight, I need to be able to apply this quote. But all the time I'm going, I'm rejoicing. I've got the purchasing power of the loaf of bread. So it's a substance. The substance that you've received is greater than the briar patch. The substance is greater than the difficulty going up the mountain. The substance is greater than the bridge. It's greater than wading the water. It's greater than the risk of falling. It's greater. It's actually such a substance. It has pulled you to such a dimension of faith. It has more effect over you than all these natural things you're even seeing. Notice this in perfect faith. If you had cancer and the doctor told you yesterday that you'd be dead before Monday morning and all your heart and respiration's gone, the cancers eat you up. Your bloodstream become completely cancer. And something. Glory. Something come with this substance of this genuine faith. Perfect faith was made a substance in you. Now notice what's happening. You are becoming in the image of the portion of the word that's needed for your time. What is the Rhema of God? It's that living word needed for your time. Not just taking the Logos and quoting the scriptures over and over and over again. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that comes out of the mouth of God. What? That living word. And it actually becomes such a substance. You are now bearing in your image the imparted image of the invisible God. That He has allotted to you a part of His own faith. He sees yours won't do it. So He says, here, take mine. Take my faith, Greg. Use it. You believe He'll let us use His power, don't you? Do you think you have power to cast out devils? You think you have power to do these things? Of course you don't. It is a borrowed power. Well, if He can let me use His power, can He let me use His faith? Something comes with this substance of this genuine faith, perfect faith, made a substance in you, your life, and that doctor's face. You'd be like old Elijah when he walked up and down before the idol and said, maybe call a little louder. Maybe he's pursuing. He knowed what he was going to do because God had told him what was going to happen. He said, let the God that answers by fire be God. But you see, if you lose substance, fear can be just as paramount in the life of that individual. Then what was so strong that kept them through the briar patches? Those briar patches become unbearable. Those bridges become longer. The mountains become steeper. And the sun is hotter and hotter every day. Why? Because fear is becoming substance. Yes, sir. Can I have a few more minutes of your time? What's this in Question and Answers 1964? There's actually six senses in a human body. Because He's the number six in the Bible. He was created on the sixth day. And He is six. Man is. He's got see, taste, feel, smell, hear, and faith. His faith sets His destination where He's headed for. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you do not see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. But by faith, when He catches the word, listen to this, it sends Him into a dimension
Lord, that makes it, Lord Jesus, that makes it so real to him that he's just as good as got it in his hands. Friends, don't you understand? My faith come by here and faith come here, and we think just by sitting here and preachers preach is where we're going to get this kind of faith. That's not what the word even says. Faith come by hearing, all right, but Remus, not preaching of Logos, Rhema. Faith come by hearing of Rhema. The moment-to-moment word, when God takes that preached word and makes it alive to you, what does it do? It actually sends you into a dimension. And yet you have never left the earth. You're sitting right there on a pew. But somehow part of you, under the influence of that revealed word, moved you into another dimension. A dimension of substance. Oh God. When he catches the word, it sends him. You don't go on your own. It sends you. You're a man on a mission. Or a woman on a mission. Or a boy or a girl on a mission. It sends you. It catapults you. It sends him into a dimension that makes it so real to him till he's just as good as got it in his hand. He knows it's going to happen. Faith enables us to understand what God does. Faith enables us to see what God sees. Faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as the present. Lord Jesus. That's why with the cord in your pocket, my God will supply all of my need. He's going to make a way. He's going to give me a job. He's going to give me a load. He's going to do this, that, the other. Why? Faith says he'll do it. Faith takes these promises out of the shadows. It takes them out of the scary part of the shadows and brings them present tense. Faith is the eye of the soul. The substance of things hoped for with the evidence of things not seen. Brother Bram said unbelief was no value in unbelief at all. Unbelief accompanies fear. Unbelief accompanies fear. When you go to reasoning and wondering, then you begin to fear. Let's stand. Notice this. We'll maybe read this again in the morning. Brother Bam, should you go to a doctor? He'll say, well, I'm sorry to tell you, but you have cancer. Well, quickly, that's all. He's dead. That's all there is to it. Or she, they're gone. The doctors say, well, that paralysis, the leukemia, well, right quick, they're as good as dead right then. Notice why. Fear sets in. It shouldn't. Fear sets in. But it shouldn't. And when trouble sets in, and faith of him being with us, then fear sets in. And when fear sets in, then we really got trouble. Let me read you a couple things that are astounding. We'll read them again in the morning.
A wheelchair-bound patient was told by a doctor she had Parkinson's disease. She went to another doctor who told her she didn't. By the end of that doctor's visit, she was jogging down the hall. A man died of cancer, yet the autopsy showed there were not enough cancer spots in his body to have killed him. A priest administers the last rites to the wrong patient, and that patient dies unexpectedly. These patients all had different diagnoses, yet they were all affected by the same cause. It has been proven that fear can cause disease and even death. Though this idea is not new, our understanding of its progression because of new technologies give us a window into the brain. Since 1961, the term nocebo phenomenon has been identified. According to this reverse placebo effect, a patient will become sick or sicker after being told of negative side effects or on being informed of specifics about an illness just diagnosed. You say that's crazy, is it? Brother Man said, you take a man sitting here this morning that's not a bit sick and let him begin to get in his heart believing he is sick, they'll pack him out of the building. So if faith can have such a substance that it will not look at symptoms and all that sort of thing, and if we can lose substance, still believe God's a healer, still believe He's the same yesterday and forever, but just won't believe He'll do it for us now, that's the substance that goes from it, then cannot we also lose substance to fear? Now, you'll never be, as long as you're human, to a place to where there won't be things you'll be afraid of. There'll always be things that'll scare you. But what I'm wanting to do is to have a substance-free fear. If you pull up a rattlesnake in my face, I'm going to run. I was over in India many years ago, a missionary, and there's some of them snake guys on the side of the road and on the street. Me and Brother Biscoe was going down the street, and that guy picked me out. He seen I was scared to death. Didn't take him long. I wasn't ashamed of it. That dude followed me over to the motel. He was harassing me, aggravating me, because I was scared of that viper. You know what? There'll be things you'll always be afraid of. But what I want to do is rip, tear, remove the substance out of all fear, so that fear will hit me and that it moves on. When I get scared of things, it'll hit me, Brother Jerry, but it will not remain here. It will not go down here. It will have no substance. It will not root. It will not move in my subconscious. It will hit me and be gone. Praise the Lord. Look, friends, we must make our choice. We must have substance faith or substance fear. For me and my house, we choose faith. Praise God. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. He's so wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, oh, praise God. Keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies my sadness. Everybody, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. My
you, Lord. Hallelujah. That's entirely up to you how you make this journey. You can go like this. Where are you going? Heaven. Or you can go like this. Counselor, Prince of Peace. Why should I always kind of got his head up in the clouds? Because that's where Jesus is. Oh, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Brother Don, your head go prior patch. I know it, but I figured I'd be better off to have this kind of attitude. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Jesus says to me, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God in me. He's saving me. Come on, sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Praise the Lord. Let us all be honest tonight. Who needs help with our attitude? Anybody here like briars? Long, rugged, rough mountaintops? Me either. But I done figured out, he ain't gonna limit the briar patches. But he wants to give me an adjustment on my briar patch attitude. Cause to get what I'm after, I ain't after a loaf, I'm after a new body. There'll be dangers and toils and snares and all kinds of things, but I'm jingling my quarters. Let's pray for one another, can we? Let's lay hands on one another if you would. Believer to believer. Praise God. You can walk out of here tonight scared to death of what lays before you. You can be a worrier. You can bring so many things upon you that's totally unnecessary. Or whatever life brings, whatever God's will brings for your life, you can be able to face it and know that He's mindful of you. Lord Jesus, as we come before you tonight, Father, with our hands laid one upon the other, believer to believer, eagle to eagle, Father, we confess before you tonight, we need your help. Lord, we don't always have the right attitude when we go through these briar patches. Lord, we do sometimes spiritually the way I did when I was a kid. Maybe some of these other folks did too when they had to do things they didn't like as a kid. And Lord, we just dread it, and sometimes we'd make it worse by dreading it. It wasn't near as bad many times what we actually had to do. So Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight, Father. You didn't promise this would be a flowery bed of ease. You didn't promise there wouldn't be difficulty. But you promised you'd be with us. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for your children tonight. I pray for those that are sick and afflicted, those that have needs in their bodies, in their homes, in the churches, whatever it is, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we don't ask you to move the briar patches. We don't ask you, Lord, to move the mountains out of our way. But Father, we pray you'd give us strength. You had briar patches as it was, and mountains to cross, and bridges and creeks you had to go through. Oh God, all kinds of things in the natural. So did Paul, so did Peter. We don't ask you to make it an easy way for us. But we pray, God, give us strength, Lord. May we hold our quarter in our hand and say, I'm going to buy my bread by the grace of God. May we have the right attitude. May we be, as the prophet said, carefree, happy going that way. Praise God. That you don't want us to be worrying and down and upset, but you want us to be like little children, like you said about the poor little robin. Said them poor human beings, they looked so sad and so down, you'd think they didn't have a heavenly Father that cared for them the way we do. Oh Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus, restore to us the joy, Lord God, of our salvation. Drive fear away from our lives, our fear of failure, the fear of symptoms, Lord, the fear of reoccurring disease, the fear of this and that, Lord God. Perfect love casteth out fear, for fear has torment, Lord. We want our substance, Lord God, to be in our faith, not in fear. Lord Jesus, may our fear be conquered by the grace and the power of God. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, let's wave our hands to Him, children. Praise be to God. Let's worship Him now together. Amen. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised.
Can you imagine how blessed we are by God? That God would give us a portion of His being in the form of substance to anoint our faith to believe that which God can believe. For Paul goes on to say in Hebrews 11, for we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And God believed His Word to frame the world. What cannot God in you believe His Word to heal you or deliver you from an affliction or an oppression of the devil? Sure He can. We can just let go. Hallelujah. Believe through me, Lord. Oh God, heal through me. Cast out devils through me. I've allowed you to do that for a long time. But believe through me, God. Believe through me, Lord God. Don't just heal the sick through me. Don't just preach through me. But believe your word through me, Lord. Hallelujah. May the express image of your substance drop in our souls. Lord, that we become bride not only by claim, bride not only by title, but bride by substance. Hallelujah. That it moves us into a dimension while we are yet here, subject to light, matter, time, science, and yet our faith, hallelujah, is pulled into another dimension where God is. God does not tremble. God does not shake. God's faith does not ever worry. God's faith is not frustrated. Lord Jesus, grant it to your children around the world tonight, Father, that our faith can be pulled into that dimension. Surely it will need to be before our bodies ever go. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Would you get a songbook or your Bible or handkerchief or just use your hand if you'd like? Let's just give Him a wave offering tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. We worship You, Lord God. We adore You. We magnify You, Lord. You're worthy of our praise, our adoration, oh God. Lord, if some movie star, some rock star was here in Johnson City, thousands of people would flock out to see Him and they'd be screaming and hollering. Oh Lord, but here we are tonight with the King of glory in our midst. The King of eternity has come by to pay us a visit tonight, Lord God. We want to worship You, Lord. We want to magnify You. You're not some old filthy rock star or some movie star, but the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the bride and the morning star, the lily of the valley. Lord Jesus, we worship You. We adore You tonight, Father. We rejoice in Your presence, Lord. You are worthy, O Lord. You are worthy, O Lord, to be praised. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank You, Holy Father. Oh, great Adonai Elohim. We bless Your name, Lord. May You walk among us, Lord. Maybe some of Your children find themselves in that briar patch, Lord. Others find themselves going up that mountain and they seem so weak. Lord, they seem so dry, so parched. Oh, but may the great fountain of water come near them tonight, Lord. While they're climbing up that mountain, Lord. Maybe some's on the other side and they're going across that bridge. But the bridge is high and the wind is blowing and it's a footbridge. It's treacherous and though so scary. May faith drop in their heart to drive the fear away, Lord. Oh, Jesus, wherever we find ourselves tonight, may we find You right there with us, Lord. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. We worship Your holy name tonight, Father. We bless Your name, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh, that's it, children. Just love Him. Just adore Him. Praise Him. He's worthy of it tonight. Praise the Lord from all your hearts. Just make love to Him. Take your hands, your mouth, your lungs, everything that you are. Amen. Pull Him up close to you. Just love Him. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Praise Your name, Lord.
Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness to us. How many times have we lost our substance, but you reached down to pick us up, Lord. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Brother Louis, can you come up and sing that song for us? When he reached down his hand for me. Oh, praise the Lord. I've never been privileged like Peter to be able to step out of a boat and walk on water. But I can relate to him. I've lost my substance many times, Brother Terry. But the Lord Jesus, in his mercy, reached down to me and picked me up. How many can relate? Aren't you glad that story's in the Bible? Aren't you glad that's there to help us to be able to see? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
When he reached,
listen now,
down his hand,
when your substance
for me, he had to reach, way down for me. I was lost and undone without my God or his Son.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
He reached down his hand. My soul was astray from the heavenly way. I was wretched and vile as could be. But my Savior above, he gave me peace and joy and love. When he reached down his hand for me, sing it as you go. When he reached down his hand for me, without my God. bless you, church.